Scripture reading this morning is taken from Psalms 84, the 84th Psalm. We'll be reading the first four verses. How lovely is your tabernacle, O Lord of hosts! My soul longs, yes, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you.
This hour each week that we come together is one of several that we're privileged to be together as brothers and sisters in Christ and to engage in a period that we refer to as worship. These times of worship are times of great blessing to our own lives. They're times in which we are able to give thanks and honor to God. They're times that we must appreciate and value and find the great happiness and joy in being a part of. See, when we have the attitude toward worship that is set forth in the Scriptures, then our worship not only is pleasing to God, as it must be when we offer it to Him, but we also ourselves will derive great benefit from it. We know, sadly, in many parts of our world today, people lift up worship to God, but it's worship that would fall under the same reception toward God or with God that Cain's offering of worship did. Because Cain's offering was not in accordance with God's will, it was not accepted. And that can happen as well in the world today. And so there are a number of things involved, of course, in offering worship that is pleasing and acceptable to God. But part of that equation, of course, from John 4 and verse 24 is that our spirit be right, that our hearts be right with God. And that's important as we think about when we come together, this is not to be something that's a drudgery, that's an obligation, that's something that we do just because it's habitual, because generations before us have done the same thing. But rather, this is something that we should do understanding the nature of worship and then how it relates to God and how it relates to us as human beings. And that's our intent this morning, is to think about worship from those aspects and then think about how that relates to the joy that should fill our hearts when we engage in the worship process that we're privileged to be a part of as Christians. And so as we study together this morning, let's begin with a point concerning understanding worship. Why are we here? What's the purpose of all of this? You know, when we think about worship as it was set forth in the Scriptures, we find the early mention of worship in Genesis chapter 22, the first time we find the word worship in the Hebrew language is found here in Genesis 22, verse 5. And this was the occasion when God had commanded Abraham to offer his son Isaac as a burnt sacrifice to God. And you can just imagine how that initially, when Abraham received that command, what he would have been going through his mind. But nonetheless, here is a man who goes and begins to embark on that journey that will take him to the point where he's going to engage in this act of worship, offering a sacrifice unto God. And there it is in verse 5, where he says to his young men, these were the young men that accompanied him on this journey, to go to where he would offer his son. And he told them, "Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you." What Abraham was speaking about was his intent to worship God in the offering of his son, slaying his son and giving his son as a sacrifice. The Old Testament word that is most commonly found in the Hebrew and translated as worship is the word shakah. It means to bow down or to bow down before God, to worship, to pay adoration, even without prostration. But oftentimes, and literally that that Hebrew word that we find there literally means to bow down. Although you can worship God without falling forward, as we often find is the case. But the idea is, here is one who is showing great reverence before God. So he's bowing himself before God. And he's also showing a sense of submission to God, bowing down before God, making himself lower than the one who is standing before him. And this is the mindset that is tied to the act of worship. It has to do with reverence toward God. It has to do with submission to all that God would command us or speak to us. And so here we find Abraham going to worship God. It's a beautiful thing to think about, that occasion of worship, because although God commanded Abraham to offer his son wasn't offered. And that's because God stopped him from making that sacrifice. And in the place of Isaac, God provided a sacrifice. He provided that animal that was slain. The blood was shed. In the place of sacrifice today, of those animals that were for so many years offered, God has provided the sacrifice of his son. And what that means is, we don't have to die. We don't have to pay the price for our sins. That Jesus, on our behalf, died. And so God allows us to worship him today by offering up spiritual sacrifices through which we show our reverence to God, through which we demonstrate submission to his will by fulfilling the various acts of worship that are part of the Christian process today when we worship God. But we also remember and understand the great blessing that it is that the Son of God has been offered, so that we don't have to continue to offer those animals that could not take away sin. The problem of sin has been taken care of. And now we worship God with the hope of one day worshiping him forever in that eternal home that he's prepared for us. In the New Testament, the word proskuneo means to make obeisance, to do reverence to. Again, there that is that word. It's used in the New Testament as an act of homage or reverence to God or to Christ. Sometimes people would worship men. Sometimes even Satan, demons, angels were worshipped. But proper worship, of course, is offered only to God. And so this is the nature of worship as we speak about it today. But when we think about worship that we're privileged to be a part of as Christians, we notice this point. After we think about the understanding of worship, we understand this. And that is, number two, that worship honors God. Worship honors God. This is something that we should find great joy in when we think about what has been done for us, and then that through worship we can honor the one who gave his son as a sacrifice to take away my sin, your sin. The horrible things that have been done against God, God is willing to forgive. The selfish acts that we do, the things in clear violation of his will, the neglect that we show when we don't do the things that he's commanded of us, he's willing to forgive us of those things because of what his son willingly did, laying down his life for us. Worship enables us to honor God. And we honor him by the various things that we do in worship to him. As we honor God in worship, we must keep in mind that the only way to honor God through worship is to offer worship that is in accordance with God's will. Abel's worship pleased God. Cain's was rejected by God. And our worship today can please God and truly honor him if and only if we offer it according to his will. So if we want to honor God and we want to find the joy in worship and we want to give back to God in the only way that we really can, then we must do things as he has told us in his word that they must be done. And then we can know that as I'm doing these things, God is well pleased. And I'm truly honoring Him. And this is not self-willed worship or worship according to my own desires or dictates, but rather this is worship that I know according to the Scriptures God is well pleased with. We can find great joy when we do things in accordance with God's will, and we know God receives this. I know it. God is pleased with this because I've done it in accordance with His will, and I've done it from my heart. My heart has been engaged. And God, I know, is happy with my worship. But we honor God in worship in some specific ways. We honor God by giving thanks to Him. By giving thanks to Him. When we think about all that has been done on our behalf, not only in the initial offering of God's Son upon the cross, but in the blessings that God has bestowed upon us. You know, all the spiritual blessings that are in Christ Jesus that we read about in Ephesians chapter 1. These are the things that on a regular basis we are recipients of because God is a good God. He blesses us in special ways as Christians, but we know that God showers down blessings upon all people because He loves everyone. But there are some blessings that are only in Christ Jesus. And as a result of what God has done for us, we ought to give thanks to Him. And we honor God by giving thanks to Him. We give thanks to God for certainly salvation, that we can live every day knowing that we're saved. We can live every day knowing that I'm going to heaven. I know where I am. I know the path that I'm on. And that I find the joy of knowing that God has blessed me with the promise of eternal life. And no one can take that from me. And even through the dark days of life and the hard times that I know I will have to face, and I may be presently going through, I know that I'm saved. And God will one day remove all these hardships and trials that I have to go through now. There's happiness in knowing what God has given to us in the salvation that we have through Jesus Christ. We can honor God and thank Him for His great mercy. When we reflect upon our own human weaknesses, in the stumbling that so often characterizes our daily walk, aren't we thankful for the mercy of God? And isn't it something that we are able to find happiness in, to give thanks to God for His patience with us, for how He has been so merciful to us, because we are in so desperate need of that mercy and patience? It's a God who, like a father, sees our faults very clearly, has the right to punish us for them, but who with tenderness and understanding, because as our fathers relate to us, know what it's like because they've been there. Jesus Christ as well lived in the flesh, suffered temptation and trials and all those things that we go through, yet without sin. But He understands and He knows what it's like. And here is the One with mercy and patience helps us throughout our lives. We honor God by giving thanks to Him for these good things that He has shown us. And we can honor God by praising Him. Hebrews 13 verse 15 reminds us, "Therefore let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name." God is worthy of great praise because He is the God that has so richly bestowed upon us these blessings that we've just talked about. The blessing of salvation. We have the mercy and the patience of God. The innumerable things that we can count as we think in that, in terms of the song, count your many blessings. All the things on a daily basis. And we honor God by praising Him for all these wonderful things that He has done. Various songs are written that are songs of praise, literally communicating the thought and the mindset, the disposition, the heart of praise toward God because of what He has done for us. We honor God by praising Him. But as we think about worship and the joy associated with it, we also understand that worship benefits us. Worship benefits us. It honors God, but it also greatly benefits us. When we, in our time of worship together, bow our heads before God and go to Him in prayer, it's an opportunity to speak with our loving Father and to communicate things to Him. When we pray for one another. The struggles and trials we know each other's going through. Some people are struggling with serious health issues. We're praying on their behalf. And worship benefits those for whom we're praying. But it also benefits us. Because it's a time in which we are engaged and in fellowship with our Heavenly Father. It's a time of communing with Him, speaking to the One who's made us and who loves us. When we reflect upon the words in Matthew chapter 7, we see what God intends to communicate to us is that He wants to hear from us, and He wants to do for us, and that He loves us tenderly. These things that are communicated here ought to produce in us a joy and happiness when we engage God in prayer, knowing this is how God feels about things. Listen to what it says here, beginning in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 7. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Here is a beautiful picture of God's tender love for us. He's just like a loving Father. He exceeds us. Anyone here who's a father, you think about your own love for your children, your desire to provide for them the good things in life. God exceeds us. Therefore, He is able to give so much more, so much greater, and His love is so much better than ours is. And here's the tender, loving, superior God who loves us and longs to give to us and help us. But it requires that we ask, that we seek, that we knock. We're reminded in 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, of some things relating to prayer. And whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Here's something to reflect upon. My prayers with God are effective, and I can know that I receive what I ask of God, but there's something tied to that, isn't there? My faithfulness to God. What we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. If I live in rebellion to God's will, if I reject Him and cast Him off, is He going to hearken unto my prayers and bless me as He will when I walk with Him and I'm faithful to Him? You see, we must keep the commands of God. We must do those things that are pleasing in His sight, and prayers will be heard and answered. Here's the thing. We can be filled with the joy of the knowledge that God hears and answers the prayers of the faithful, and that we have a means of reaching out to the One who has all power, who's able to grant that which is impossible for men to do. But God is able, and thus we know and should have the resulting feelings in our heart based upon that knowledge that God is good and that God gives to those who are faithful to Him. We also have, just a couple chapters later in 1 John, chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, these words. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions we have asked of Him. So this also brings out another important point relating to prayer, and that is that things are to be asked in accordance with the will of God. That God's will is supreme, and God's will, we certainly should understand, is better than our own will. So praying for things that in our own mind seem to be the solution should always be tied in with the prayer that communicates this thought, Father, as your will is, so let it be done. Because God's will is always best, and He has the solution to all our problems. You know, the answers that God gives in prayer, yes or no, we should be satisfied with. The yes may be a quick yes. The yes may be a yes that relates to in time, in my own time. So it may be relating to the waiting aspect of an answer to prayer. But God is a God who will do what is best for us. And sometimes it's best for us not to receive the specific thing that we ask for. And sometimes God may do something even better and different from what we imagine. But God is good and God loves us. And prayer is an act of worship that we can find great joy in because it benefits us in so many ways. And when we understand the loving God that we serve, we see just how wonderful it is to have that privilege of prayer. When we come together and we worship God, another thing that we do is we give of our means. It's an opportunity to be reminded of how good God is to us, to be reminded of the blessings and the prosperity that God has so richly bestowed upon us, that we are thankful to have the daily necessities, but on top of the daily necessities, we live in a land of comfort and a land of ease. Many of our brethren in places in the world don't have it so easy and so comfortable. But God has richly blessed us that we might in turn find the joy of giving, helping others who are in need. Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." Paul related that truth in Acts chapter 20. And this is a key thing for us to remember. We're used to, in a land of prosperity, being on the receiving end of things. But it's so much more rewarding to be a giver. And that's where you find the joy. And in this act of worship that we engage in, we have the opportunity to help the Lord's work be done, to spread the gospel, to help people who are in need. It's something that we do not only in the times and the acts that we do, you know, when we're here on the first day of the week, giving of our means, but there are opportunities to give many times in life, in various ways, to the people around us. And that also is tied in with the great joy of giving. When we sing, think about this. This act of worship involves teaching one another. There's a joy to be found in learning from God, to hearing what He has to say to us, even this aspect of it, admonishing when we sing. Colossians 3 and verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Through singing, there is something happening. Not only are we praising God who is worthy of that praise, but we are also teaching each other and even admonishing each other, because through songs, those words that we must be tuned into very carefully lest our worship be vain, there's a message that will lift us up, that will build us up in the faith, that will remind us of things that we are to be doing. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother? Or things that as Christians we must be refraining from, not be doing, or even words of rebuke and chastisement, because we need that. There's joy to be found in singing because we benefit from these acts of worship. We are encouraged when we sing songs that lift us up when we are fallen down. The Lord's Supper, when we engage in that act of worship, reminds us of our great hope. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul talks about this act of worship, reminds us of Jesus instituting this Lord's Supper, as we call it, this time of communion with God, reflecting upon both the body of Jesus Christ when we partake of that unleavened bread and His blood that was shed when we partake of the fruit of the vine. And we're reminded of what Jesus did for us. He sacrificed His life upon the cross. He died to give us hope. But that hope should remain with us, even though it was a tragic thing that happened to Him and the suffering that He went through. It's a beautiful picture of the love of God. And it reminds us of the hope that we have and the joy that is in Christ Jesus, that through His sacrifice, through His death, we live, we benefit. And so when we drink the cup and when we eat the bread, Let us not forget to remember and be engaged our hearts and find the true joy that is there in these beautiful things that are communicated to us through the Scriptures as they relate to the act of worship that we engage in the Lord's Supper. And of course, studying the Word of God together allows us to hear from our Father. When we open our Bibles, we are listening to the message from the One who loves us like none other can. He is a God who is tender in His mercy. We think about His words communicated to His people all through the years of man's existence. From the beginning, when Adam and Eve were given the word that was intended to give them life and they violated it, there was a loving God who saw them through it, but yet His justice demanded that He bring about the consequences of their sins. And so God who tenderly loves us also God is a God who reproves us and chastises us, who brings us back to His side because that's where He wants us to be. And sometimes that's a painful process because receiving the reproving and the rebuking that God gives through His Word is painful. And yet, God through His Word not only corrects us, but God sees the struggling saint and He seeks to lift us up, to encourage us, to show us in His Word the people that persevered because of the hope they had through the God that led them. You see, we're not alone in this life. God hasn't made us, created us, and left us, but rather, as we talked about, His providence is always with us. He cares for us. He provides. He sees our needs. Yes, God is a God who loves us, and so because of His love, did you know that God actually allows you to suffer sometimes because He loves you? Because sometimes there's value to be found in suffering. The thorn in the flesh, Paul saw as a means of growing, learning perseverance. God loves us. Through His Word, He communicates these timeless truths and valuable lessons so that we might be able to persevere to the very end. Studying God's Word reminds us of our place as His servants. And when we worship Him, we see that we are, in fact, beneath Him. Worship, remember the basic definition, to bow down. We are bowing down before the One who has given us the greatest gift of all, His Son, so that we might receive the greatest blessing, eternal life through Him. Today, as you worship God, find the joy that God intends for you to have as you lift up your heart to Him. Because that must be engaged for your worship to be pleasing to Him. But certainly as we think about all that God has done for us and all that He blesses us with, we can find that great joy in each of the acts of worship and knowing that our worship is pleasing and acceptable to God. And realizing that as we engage in worship, that we benefit, that God is blessed and honored, and that one day we will receive the blessing of eternal life where we'll be able to be in the presence of God forever. And we will forevermore be able to praise and honor and give thanks to the One who has given us that hope and that eternal home through His Son. If you're not yet a part of the family of Christ, we'd ask you to reflect upon the condition of your soul presently. Because each one of us will in reality one day be standing before Jesus Christ. We'll be at the judgment when we will receive what is due based upon what we have done in this life, whether it be good or evil. God tells us that we're all guilty of evil or sin, and therefore we need the forgiveness that is only found in Jesus Christ. That forgiveness comes in a means devised by God. He gave His Son, right? Sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God. The blood of Christ was shed. So we have to believe that He is and truly can save us, the Christ, the Son of God, and turn away from the sinful life that we've lived in the past. Acknowledge our faith, confess that, and then be immersed for the remission of our sins, where Jesus Christ, His blood, completely cleanses us from our past sins. And then as we live each and every day, we know that we have that continual cleansing as we walk in the light. That means to us we need to be faithful every day. Sometimes we drift, But we know and need to remember that God is merciful. He'll receive us back to Himself. If your heart has left the Lord, if your zeal has been quenched, if your fervor and constant dedication to Him has waned, come back to the One who loves you and who gave Himself for you, and rededicate your zealous living to Him and change what needs to be changed. Because we remember, just as it was with the lukewarm church, so it is with the lukewarm member. We cannot survive spiritually if that's the case. But we can come home to the Father. We can be restored and renewed, reinvigorated, the fire rekindled, because there is a God who loves us. If you sinned and need to be forgiven, we can help you this morning. We'd be happy to do that as we stand and sing.